So this is just a brief meditation in God's Word to kind of set our minds, set the direction for the open sharing that we're going to have. And then for those who maybe weren't here when I first announced it, we'll have Roger take one side and I'll take the other side. And that's why I have this sticking on the outside today, is so that it can be easily removed and we'll share it with you. But for now, I invite you to just listen to this psalm. The reason I'm using a tablet is because I wanted to read Psalm 75 in a translation that I don't typically use. So I just liked the wording of the New Living Translation for this psalm. I think it really comes through. So I'll read it bit by bit. We'll talk about it just a little bit to get our thoughts going and focused even more so on praising and thanking God. Here's how Psalm 75 starts out. We thank you, O God. We give thanks because you are near. People everywhere tell of your wonderful deeds. God says, at the time I have planned, I will bring justice against the wicked. When the earth quakes and its people live in turmoil, I am the one who keeps its foundations firm. Then after verse 2, it has the traditional word Selah. They have the word interlude. So that means that at that point, what's just been said requires kind of a pause for our thinking. What I'm going to do is read through the rest, and we're going to come back to verses 1 and 2. 1, 2, and 3, excuse me. Verse 4, this is God now speaking. I warned the proud, stop your boasting. I told the wicked, don't raise your fists. Don't raise your fists in defiance at the heavens or speak with such arrogance. We have to understand that when God is saying about this posturing of pride and arrogance, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're directing it specifically against God. When people go their own way, when they insist that their way is better than God's, that is raising their fists. We've said before that when a person rejects Jesus Christ, you shouldn't think of it as a polite, no thank you. We should think of it as either shaking a fist at heaven or even more graphically of giving God the finger. That's what's to be understood. So when it says stop your boasting, don't raise your fists, this has to do with people in their own strength, because it really is ultimately against God. For no one on earth, from east or west, or even the wilderness, should raise a defiant fist. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what culture. It doesn't matter which time period. No one should raise a defiant fist towards heaven, because he is the creator of all. And then with regards to this idea of arrogance and boasting and people going their own way, here's how verse 7 then starts. It is God alone who judges. He decides who will rise and who will fall. Now, we're given permission to judge things in this life. We're not to judge things of the heart. We're not to try to figure out motives when we just don't know. That's an unrighteous judgment. But we actually are, says the Apostle Paul, like the judgment begins within the church. There, we are to use discernment in that sense. But this is talking ultimately. Ultimately, God is the one who judges. And we know that when time is finished and everyone will have to give account of their days, God is the sole judge. He's the one who will have the sole authority to do that. But then even in this life, his judgment will fall. Sometimes we wonder why it's delaying as long as it is. Sometimes we wish it would be faster. But it says he decides who will rise and who will fall. We always have to keep that in mind, because governments are going to change. People in power, that's always going to change. It's a very, very fluid thing. Ultimately, God is the one who is in control. He's the one who decides who will rise and who will fall. But then speaking of these ones who have done their own thing, going against their own way, for which they deserve God's judgment, that's where the psalm kind of ends. It then says, for the Lord holds a cup in his hand that is full of foaming wine mixed with spices. He pours out the wine in judgment down their throats, and all the wicked must drink it, draining it to the dregs, draining it to the very bottom. So when you think of the idea of a cup, it could be used, it's just talking about circumstances of that time. When David says, my cup overflows, that's a good cup. The things that he was experiencing, the circumstances that he was undergoing, those were good things. When Christ says in the garden, take this cup from me, those circumstances were difficult, they were bad, they were hard to deal with, but the cup just has to do with whatever people are experiencing, and in this case, they would be experiencing God's judgment. You think of wine, it has an intoxicating effect. If you drink it enough, this wine mixed with spices would make those who are going to receive judgment like reel from the judgment. But God is going to make sure that they drink it. We sometimes have to say that when it comes to what's going on in the world, evil things that are going on in the world, wrong things that are going on in the world, God keeps perfect track of all of it. That's one of the favorite ways that I have in putting it. We may see justice. We can pray for justice in this life. But if it doesn't come in this life, he keeps perfect track of it all, and he will make sure that it's taken care of. Now, this is one of the reasons why you want to make sure that your life is right with Christ now. Because if it's not, you're just heaping up judgment against yourself. But for those who receive Christ, receive that gift, right? The greatest gift, as we talk about. When they receive that greatest of gifts, those things can be wiped clean. Those things can be made where we're not going to receive an enduring judgment. The psalmist says, but as for me, I will always proclaim what God has done. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. For God says, it's connected with it, for God says, I will break the strength of the wicked, but I will increase the power of the godly. And again, that may be in the life to come that he does that, where the strength of the wicked is going to absolutely be broken. But he says he will increase the power of the godly for all those who seek him. And that leads the psalmist to say, I will always proclaim what God has done. So now I'm going to go back to the first two verses. Verse 1 is really meant to be the thing, it's like front loading. It's the thing that we're really supposed to focus on more than anything else, which is we thank you, O God. But verses 2 and 3 has God saying, at the time I have planned, I will bring justice against the wicked. And this is hard for us to be able to submit to God's timetable when we see that there are wrong things that are being done. When the earth quakes and its people live in turmoil, this is speaking poetically, I think. When there's absolute a sense of upheaval, God says, I am the one who keeps its foundations firm. Amen? If you think about the turmoil of all that's connected with COVID, if you think about all the turmoil connected with the election that took place and racial strife that took place, people would think that it was like the earth quaking, that people were living in turmoil. God says, I'm the one who keeps its foundations firm. And we should be able to take delight in that, confidence in that, that even if we don't know about how things are going to go or where they're going to go, he is the one who keeps things firm. He keeps things stable. He wants us to do our part. He wants us to do it with wisdom. He wants us to do it in Christ. But ultimately, he is the one who keeps those foundations firm. I was reading a couple of news stories. I just picked within the last couple of days. You can pick any day of the week, and you can see evil things that are being done. Did you see the story of the husband in Michigan who brought his wife cereal at nighttime, and he had stuck heroin, an overdose of heroin, into the milk with the cereal? And so initially it was thought that she had died of an overdose. And then they saw that she had absolutely no history of drugs like that. And so now he's going to be brought to justice. A husband killing his wife that way. There was a story that I read last few days of parents of kids, three teenagers, I think 13, 15, 17, in California. And they had cheated this system of trying to bail out small businesses with COVID funds, millions of dollars. And it was all a cheat. And they were found guilty, and they were to go off to prison. And instead, they thought that it was a bigger ring, actually, and they escaped. But she left a note for the kids, even though she escaped with this guy. this isn't a final goodbye. It's just we're taking a break from each other, was what she wrote. So we know that there is selfishness. We know that there is evil. We know that there is wickedness. And yet it says when there are earthquakes and people live in turmoil, God is the one who keeps its foundations firm. But the main thing that the psalmist wants us to focus on is verse 1. That's where the rubber really meets the road. That is the main thing we're supposed to get. We thank you, O God. This is the verse that's been out on the building for a couple weeks. We give thanks because you are near. Most of the Bibles that I looked at talk about his name. Your name is near. Remember that God's name stands for him. It stands for who he is. So to say his name is near means he is near. People everywhere tell of your wonderful deeds. Now, there was one commentary that went to great lengths to point out, well, it's Israel who's talking here, and they were the ones as a nation that had God near them, and they were the ones that were really trying to tell the nations about all the amazing things that God did as they came out of Egypt. But we know that the scriptures are meant to be applied by everyone, and we have an advantage over the Israelites. Because they were an ethnic, a nationally chosen people, but God has a spiritually chosen people, which is the body of Christ. And the Spirit works in us differently. There's an abiding presence that we have that the Israelites did not have. So I think we as believers in Christ can say, above all, we give thanks because you are near and you don't go away. But I love the fact we're going to hear all sorts of different reasons for giving thanks to God, for praising him, giving thanks to him. We're not going to minimize a single one of them. Some of them will be for simple things. I woke up this morning. Some of them will be for complicated things that have maybe developed over time. We're not going to minimize any of those. But how great that this really, really gets down to where the rubber meets the road. We give thanks because you're near. For those who are into more philosophical, theological pursuits, this is a way, believe it or not, that you can think deeply about God. It's referred to his transcendence and his immanence, and it's I-M-M-A. It's not like something's going to happen soon. It's not imminent. It's immanence with I-M-M-A. These are two contrasting ways that people have thought about God through the ages, and they're mind-blowing, really. Because transcendence has to do with that God is totally beyond us. He is totally other. It's way too much for us to wrap our heads around to think about God. And yet that God is immanent. He is near. That's what immanence is talking about. It's the nearness of God. And that alone would be a reason for us to rejoice on a day of thanksgiving, of expressing thanks, to say that this all-powerful, all-knowing God. Even during the conference, we talked about how Christ's very word sustains the universe, holds things together, that he is the God who comes near to us and wants us to draw near to him. Verse 1 is the one that we really want to focus on as we get ready to share. We thank you, O God. We give thanks because you are near. I tried to think, and you know, to an embarrassing point, actually, I tried to think of saying those simple words for us to get in the habit in the course of a day to say, you are near. Certainly when we're dealing with difficulties, certainly when we're dealing with stress, also when we're dealing with temptation. I didn't want to admit that. But to say, even in the midst of temptation, to say, you are near. In other words, he will help you to fight through that, to get past that. What a great thing for us to be able to say such a simple, brief phrase in all sorts of circumstances, you are near. People everywhere tell of your wonderful deeds, will we? Will we? Ask God to give you opportunities. You know, Vivian says again and again of how faithful God has been through our years of marriage. We could tell people that. We had somebody come up to us in a restaurant, a waitress, and this is just the last few days, and to say about, you know, every time when I see you guys in the restaurant, and you always have smiles on your faces, and you're talking to each other, and What I regretted was that we didn't say, well, it's because of Christ. So sometimes we're going to miss out on those moments. But we can tell people everywhere of his wonderful deeds. Amen? So as we have an opportunity now to share, I'll unclip this so I can get it ready. We have an opportunity to share things for which you praise God and for which you thank God. And the way we've done this before, most of you have been here for that. We just have people raise their hands and we'll try to get to you as soon as we can. We'll just go one right after another. Doesn't matter your age. If you have something for which you want to thank God, just raise your hand and we will come to you. And I'll prime the pump by saying when we had administrative board this past Thursday, I had all that were present do this. And I said, you have to share something for which you give thanks or that you praise God tonight, but you're not allowed to say it on Sunday. It has to be something additional. So there were numerous people that thanked God for their spouse. I did not, because that's what I wanted to say today. I came up with something that I hadn't planned beforehand, but I said it in front of the administrative board, but this morning, in front of you, just to say, I thank God for my helpmate, my partner in ministry, for 3.5 decades, more than 3.5 decades now, so I just give thanks for Vivian. Okay, the pump is primed, and I think we have people raising already.
Thank you. I'd like to give thanks for Pioneer Clubs. The fact that we're back in action after a long COVID delay. I'd like to give thanks for all of you for supporting us financially, for the people of the church and the people in community who work there. Also, we had 1 week that we did not meet because we had a good many people in quarantine. I thank the Lord that the virus did not leave the original families, so the Lord protected many people. And just so you know, we have 7 children coming right now for the very first time who came to our sports camp last summer. So all of those children are new. We have a few more families who are still interested in coming. So praise the Lord for that, and thank you for your prayers.
Good morning, Lord, again, because I've already talked with you earlier this morning, but I'm glad to be able. I'm thankful that our church has decided to hand us the microphones so we are able to hear each and every one. There's a lot when you don't hear good that you miss. But I'll hear everything that everybody says and what they're thankful for this morning. For this, I'm thankful. I'm thankful, Lord, that you've taught me when someone asks me, how are you today? I don't have to think twice. I know what to say. One word. I'm thankful. Look at the smiles. That's what always happens. When you say you're thankful to the Lord for whatever, for everything. And it's a good lesson that I've learned because I feel that that's the way that, Lord, that you want me to do my part for you is to try to make people think and remember that they're thankful. That's important. If I was to say something that I would want you to remember as human beings, when people ask you, how are you today? Say, I'm thankful with a smile, and it'll make their day, and it makes my day, and it makes me know that I'm doing my best to work for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Now, what I'm thankful for, Lord.
That was the preamble.
It's been a tremendous crop year for the farmers. And I'm a farmer. And my family is farmers. We appreciate the crops. They've seemed to be a little better this year. And I think it's because we've had so much other stuff happen in the world or in the United States that isn't good. I think maybe you've rewarded us for helping you to feed the people of the country. I'm thankful for that, Lord. I'm thankful for my wife of 63 years. I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful to know in my heart that we've been true to each other all these years. You've given us 3 children, and they've done pretty good, we think. There's a little story I'll tell you, because we've got time here this morning for you to say what you really feel. We were to have a Thanksgiving dinner. Grandma, my wife, has probably had Thanksgiving dinners for 30, 40 years. And we planned one, but we have one granddaughter and one married into the family of our family. And both these young women are going to have us a baby girl, one here at the end of November and one at the end of December. And Lord, I want to pray to you for the 2 little girls that aren't born yet, the life that they will be coming into. I hope that they, and pray, that you will be with them. They'll have a long life in a hard world if it stays the way it is. So, Lord, I thank you for them. I thank you for this congregation. I just feel that even though I'm pretty well in my own class of being a farmer, but I can understand that the rest of you folks have problems, and you have good times too. There was a lady, I don't remember her name, but she used to sit right over here. And she voted against Garrick, or the state of Maryland, not having be able to drill for gas. And you know, Garrick County is about the only place that they had for that. And what you wonder what this is about religion. But I told her, I said, you're my friend here in church, but when you get out in the public, you're my enemy. And we always gave each other a hug because of that. So that made me forgive her for what she did. Now, we have to ask God for our own forgiveness, and I understand that. So I'm glad you've given me 10 minutes to talk to you. And I'm thankful that you gave us this opportunity. Amen?
Oh, for those of you who have been through several of these Thanksgiving services, you're probably going to say, I know what he's going to be thankful for. And in this time, you'd be right. Because I am thankful for our choir. And I'm also thankful this year especially that Ruth Ann Elliott has agreed to be our accompanist. And I'm especially thankful for the choir this year because we went 18 months without singing a note. And I personally feel like this, the choir is a ministry. All the music in the service is a ministry. It's not just a filler. And it's and I think us not being able to sing was it left a void. And through Choral Society, I have interaction with a lot of other musicians in other churches. And to the best of my knowledge, we are the only church, at least in the southern end of the county, that has reactivated their choir. And I don't say this as a way of boasting. I just, because I personally was concerned, I really wanted to get us singing again badly, but I was concerned that we may be pushing the envelope and doing it when we did. We took some measures to try to mitigate our vulnerabilities, and I am extremely thankful that so far we've been kept COVID-free in the choir, and we've been able to keep on singing. So with all of that, I just can't tell you how joyful that makes me feel and what a joy the choir brings to me. Thank you.
For those of you that don't know me, I'm Mike Ferris. I'm up here part-time. For those of you who do know me, I'm Mike Ferris. I'm up here part-time. it's the same, either way. I want to briefly give thanks, as Jeff did, for my wife. Vicki and I have been married 50 years as of this September. We got married when we were 7, the main thing I wanted to ask prayer for and praise for is consistent with the passage that Jeff read to us in Psalm 75. The praise there was for overcoming evil, and we're on the threshold of overcoming probably the biggest evil in our country, and that is the scourge of abortion. The Supreme Court's going to hear a case on December 1st that the organization I lead has been deeply involved with from day one, from helping to draft the law in Mississippi that made it there, all the way through, in ways that I can say, in some ways I can't say, but I just leave it at that for the moment. And the hope at the beginning was that there would be a crack in the foundation of Roe versus Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey, because the court had artificially and just made up the standard of viability, that somehow the Constitution sees a difference between viability and non-viability. The Mississippi law was designed to test that, because 15 weeks, which is the line there, is pre-viability. And so the court could give us a narrow victory, and that is uphold the right of states to enact laws pre-viability, which would crack the foundation of Roe versus Wade. But the Mississippi Attorney General decided that the best way to make that argument was to argue that Roe versus Wade was wrong in the first place, and that it should be just flatly overturned. And there are 6 judges on the court who are, in the abstract, pro-life. Now, there are some among that group that are gradualists, and there's some that are ready to act. And the question is going to be, are there 5 that are ready to act and take it down? I am hopeful. It's far from a guarantee. But either victory would be a victory, be a real victory. So a narrow victory is a victory. The huge victory is an amazing victory. So I would just ask that you'd pray that a victory indeed would come, and especially the victory of overturning Roe versus Wade on December 1st.
Roger and I are flexible. We can go left, right, we can go up and back.
Hi. Hey, as some of you know, I come in and out when I leave, usually during worship. Yeah, I'm moving around. And I have had the opportunity to work with it's called the Refuge Church, and it's for people who would never go to church otherwise. And I've seen it happen. It's about one of the most amazing things I've seen. But now it's gotten cold, so people can't just walk to the pavilion and that kind of thing. But the group seemed to stay together. So that was an amazing feat. They need a lot of work, so I'm there to help. And God sent me, and I went, and I was like, oh, yeah, they need this, this, and this. So that's why I leave at worship time, because I go over to the other church and serve there. And it's a pleasure to see God work in amazing ways. And I'm also thankful for people who are just coming to church and still trying to fight those battles. I mean, here, anywhere. You know, we're all here and we're all fighting whatever it is. And we've all been through things that some can't overcome. And so that's why we have CR, and that's why we have this refuge church. So, and here. So I'm very grateful for everybody and their support. I have not heard hardly any negative things about it. So thank you for giving me that opportunity.
Thankful for the Lord's healing touch.
My surgeries this year. And for your prayers. And for my loving husband. He's taking good care of me.
So if you couldn't get that, yes, she was saying thankful for healing, God's healing touch in the midst of surgery. And then also for her husband, for Mike, and taking care of her.
Well, everybody knows who I am, so I ain't going to say who I am. I've been blessed by the Lord that he's given me a few years to pray for the offering. And to me, that's something that I can do, and I love praying for the offering. As far as giving the people a rough time, who comes in here, I'm going to continue to give you all a rough time. That's what I do. I'm good at it. But I just wanted to say to the Lord, I thank him for giving me the opportunity to pray over the offering. And that's it.
One of the things that I've been able to do during COVID is to write letters. And Sharon connected me with several ladies that were at the Hazleton Secure Female Facility. It's what we would write on the envelope. And one of them has continued contact with me. She was let out of prison after 9 years on October 8th. She is now in Southern California. And she has a cell phone. I tried to tell her, cell phones are so important in life. You're going to learn all kinds of things. And the last time that I spoke to her, she said, I even had to apply for jobs on my phone. So she's learning all kinds of new things. But I'm just very thankful. I sent her a book that I saw came on my feed, and it was about the Christmas story. And it's only scripture. And so we've now read the first two chapters, and it's talking about Zechariah. Do you know what that is? No, I've never read that before. And so it's just an opportunity, and I'm so thankful for that. Her name is Ruan. I think she thought that once she got out, she would just be able to step right back into life and get a job, and she'd be fine. Well, it's not been so easy for her. And so I'm grateful that I can pray, and I asked our Sunday school class to pray for Ruan to get a job. And she's been going to a church. She told me that she is going to play drums in church. And I said, oh, do you play the drums? No. But my uncle and my cousin play drums, so it can't be that hard. And I really like the music. So we'll see.
Just like to say, thankful to God for my family, both immediate and extended, and also his sovereignty and the peace he gives us.
I thank God, too. I'll echo what has already been said for this church family and the support they've given me over many years since I grew up here, as some others have, too. And then, too, for the opportunity that God allows me to serve here in different areas. One is in Sunday school with my young women. Currently, we have I have three young women in the teen Sunday school class, and they keep me, as we look at the scriptures, and like this morning, was looking into Matthew 13 and the thorns of life that can rob us, as the ladies pointed out. They can rob us of the joys and not being thankful for the things that we should. Like my wife, as one of my sisters pointed out at the administrative board meeting, she woke up in the night and she was thankful for her husband. I wake up in the night too, and you know, I can't go back to sleep, and I roll over and I look at her and I go, wow, thank you. I mean, you know, for the wife that I have, and she's supportive in that. I've known men here in the past that the wives gave them a hard time because they were involved here. And they would go home to a battleground because they came here. And she has been supportive in all the way, and whatever I get involved in. And sometimes when I get in over my head, she helps bail me out. So, and then our five daughters, she's a wonderful mother. We have five lovely young women now who are adults. And now we have five sons because of them. So yeah, I mean, just so much to be thankful for. And I think I could stand up here most of the day and just praise God for each of you, and for some that I have been involved with over the years, and just to get to know you and how wonderful, how beautiful you are.
Hi, everybody. A couple of my blessings are in the nursery at the moment, and but I'm really grateful for my daughters, both here and those that are, as you know, Leah's in Arkansas with her husband, Zach, and their two boys. Come about a month from now, I think we'll probably be able to fill a pew. I mean, babies are going to be what babies do, but if we can keep the wheels on it, we'll all be here together, and it'll be hard for Pop to keep keep it together when that happens. But anyway, I'm grateful for my son who's serving in the military, and his bride who is amazing, taking care of these kids, and new life in Benny, and he's been so fantastic and been a good baby. I'm really thankful for my bride. This time next week, a little more than a week, we'll be celebrating 36 years. And yeah, well, compared to these other guys, I feel like a, you know, newlywed. But I, it doesn't make me any less grateful. And God has been so good for this church and for my older brothers, for Wayne. I mean, he's always thankful for us, and that's reciprocal for sure. He's a fabulous director and a great human. So thank you, guys. Thank you, God.
I'm also thankful for everything that everybody else said, so I don't have to repeat all that. But I have my own personal blessings that I was able to see my little great-granddaughter this past weekend. She's growing up so big and talking, and she just gives everybody hugs, and she's so adorable. And we just had a wonderful weekend. I'm so thankful. We had our Thanksgiving early. And I have another granddaughter expecting in March. So just for new life and God, how he blesses. We've had weddings this past year, step-grandchildren getting married and graduating, and it's just time goes by really fast, but God blesses, and you just see a new blessing every day. But that's all I have to say, except that I am grateful for our church, our fellowship, our Sunday school, and everything that we're able to be part of here.
Yeah, I wanted to say, too, I'm thankful for your children. If you've already noticed, Lynn and I love your children. And thank you for entrusting us.
I am thankful for some of the miracles that have occurred of late. One of them is the Sparks family or locals that had twins, and one of them developed meningitis, I think, or encephalitis, and the doctor said that they never saw one recover that got as bad as she was, and she's home now with a trach and full-time nursing care, and her little brother, Sawyer, is doing fine. He never got sick, but it's just been a miracle to see how bad she was with tubes and pipes and wires and monitors, and just day after day after day, people coming to the front to pray. And strange as it may seem, I'm thankful to Facebook because I can put a prayer request on there and have 100 people get down on their knees around the world for somebody like that. Also for my daughter-in-law's dad, Adam's father-in-law, Tim, who he was also told by the doctors, or we were been told that he had COVID so bad that they never saw anybody recover that had to have the chest tube in like he did for collapsed lung. He's been in there for week after week after week. He went off the ventilator. They tried this week to put a trach tube in, and they were unsuccessful because his vitals were so bad. And so they had to put him back on the vent. So it's been a miracle that he's alive. It'll be a miracle if he survives it. He's just so beat down with weakness and damage to his lungs. So at the same time, I'd ask prayer for these continued miracle people to continue to be able to survive. And I'm sorry if I miss somebody, but of all the people here that regularly attend, I don't think anybody died of COVID, you know, through all this that I knew from attending here. I may be wrong. I know a lot of people got sick. A lot of people know people who died. We all know people who died. But I'm thankful that everybody sitting here is sitting here. And I really am thankful for these babies after what Mike said. You know, these babies are it. It's our future. And I love them all. So thank you.
Anybody else?
My beautiful wife.
I'd have probably been in trouble if I wouldn't have stood up. I'd have heard about it later. Anyway, so thankful for everyone in this congregation. It's like Roger said, most of us, you know, have grown up in the church together. Others are newbies, which is wonderful because, you know, This is what makes a family. I thank the Lord that through all of this COVID, God has given me peace. I have never been scared of this stuff, even though they said it would, you know, attack the older people, which, oh, here I am, older people. But yes, I have never had a fear of COVID. I thought, well, if I get it and God takes me, it's a win-win, you know? It's a win-win because I either make it or I don't, you know? If I do make it, then I'm here with my husband and my family. And speaking of him, he has been such a blessing. I think back of the guys that I could have ended up with. It's kind of a scary thought, but God has his plans for us. And everyone else was told everything. So, yeah, 46 years. So it has. It's been such a blessing to have him in my life and our family. Our girls are fantastic. Our son-in-laws are fantastic. And our 8 grandchildren. And it's just... I just can't thank God enough for everything. And through it all, I know he is in control. All the scary things we hear on the news about all this, not only the COVID stuff, but just, you know, politics and everything. You know, they think they've got it in control in Washington. No, they don't. God is the one that has it in control. And I thank him for that every day.
Let's go ahead and stand together, and we're going to sing our closing hymn.